This episode of Slightly Offsides is brought to you by Better Edge, the legal way to bet socially with no fees. Better Edge is an amazing platform that has most sports. We're talking about all the big sports, as well as college football and basketball, MLS, PGA, and European soccer. The lines are better than what you'll get at most any other sports book. Your spreads and your over-unders will go plus and negative, as well as you can also live trade your bets as they're happening. So if you have a horrible bet and you want to get rid of it mid-game and save some capital, you can do that with Better Edge. I got the opportunity to try it out, and now you're going to be able to do that too. Head on over to betteredge.com and get a free $10 right now when you sign up using the code OFFSIDES. That's OFFSIDES at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Play the game without getting played.
Welcome to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Slightly Offsides. We're bringing another off-season check-in to you today. We've got Kyle Umlang with us to talk Texas Longhorn football. Kyle, thanks for hopping on the show.
Hey, anytime, guys. Glad to be here.
So let's get into Texas football. This is one of the blue bloods, one of the original, like I'd say, grandfathers of college football. They've fallen on some rough times as of late. So I guess let's start just, basic test the waters here. Kyle, what is your opinion of the state of the program right now?
Well, we can't do any worse than we did in 2021, which is a good thing. Silver lining, can't be worse. That was horrible season. Too many games were leading at halftime and then crumbled. I think it happened like five times, maybe six times. Pretty crappy. But I think we're going to be great on offense in 2022. Just added Quinn Ewers, as you know, got a transfer from, I guess, Wyoming, a stud wide receiver. We're going to have two great wide receivers, great quarterback. Offense shouldn't be an issue. I'm a little worried about defense, just because that's kind of what screwed us last year. So, well, yeah, I'm looking forward to scoring a bunch of points and hopefully that being enough to get us through some games that we would have lost in 2021.
And, I mean, bright side is, at least from what I've heard, Sark is looking at anybody for defense. So, they're keeping that transfer portal open no matter who it is. Yep. You know, they're looking for the playmaker, the kid that can step in and make an immediate impact. Right. So there's no telling. You guys have already picked up a few decent defensive players from the portal. To say it couldn't be a few more that, help round out that defense, in the latter half of the season, honestly. It may take a little bit to get going, but I genuinely think Texas has a really good shot at, competing in the Big 12 this year.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I have thought that going into every season for the last 10 years. So
well, it's funny. I was just telling Mike that beforehand. And I was like, Texas actually has a chance this year. And then I was like, I say that every year. And then somehow they prove me wrong. Yep. But, again, I think it's more on the brighter end of things for Texas, just because, like you said, how much worse can it get? You picked up a really good quarterback. It's going to be a battle between who really gets that starting job, from what I hear. But, everything else is starting to at least fall into somewhat of a place, place for Sark going into next season.
It was his first season, so I always give coaches, whatever, his first season. Who cares? Like, Tom Herman's first season in 2017, he had – like three or four really close games down to a possession. I'm like, man, if we would have just won those, we could have a 10-win season. Yeah. But it didn't go our way. 2018, his second year, we bounced back, did great, competed for a championship, conference championship, obviously not national. So I think this year, we had five games last year by a possession. Just if you flip a coin on half of those, that's that could have been the other way. Who knows? So I think if things go well this year and we don't make dumb decisions, we could be looking at 8-9 wins. And like you said, maybe playing for the Big 12. Who knows?
And they talked about conditioning as well. I noticed that in an interview with one of the trainers from Texas, they were saying that. They were saying this latter half of games, they watched Texas kind of crumble.
Right.
And maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's coaching, who's to say. But I think that that's a great point that you mentioned there. So
somewhere in the middle of America, you've got Texas fans and Nebraska fans sitting in a lonely bar talking about flipping coins and winning games that they shouldn't have lost.
No, Nebraska was the best 9-loss team I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
We talked about this. Props to Nebraska, because even in this 3-9 season, I mean, I think this has gotten them more notoriety than, they've had in any other season, because I think they've managed to worm their way into almost every single one of our episodes, Dre. But I mean, we say it time and time again, they are literally the most unlucky team in college football history. It's so baffling when you actually look at the stats that they were able to do what they did.
Speaking of Nebraska, Casey.
Sorry.
Oh, I was going to mention Casey Thompson.
Yeah, I think Casey's a great addition for them. Great pickup. I loved him. Sad to see him go. I know, obviously, he made the right choice, because you don't want fighting for backup when you could be starting somewhere. And Nebraska needs him bad. So I think they're. I said when I saw his transfer tweet a couple months ago, I was like, watch Nebraska win the Big Ten this next year. I think if things go their way, if they just go unlucky just on a couple games, they could really fight for playing in that championship.
Well, the law of probability says that Lady Luck is going to have to be on their side next year, because there's no way.
It has to be. You can't do that 2 years in a row.
You really can't. So hopefully, Casey Thompson's able to do what Adrian Martinez couldn't, and they put together a good season.
The other side of that unluckiest team is, I think OU is one of the luckiest teams.
Oh, my God.
Just in the last, since 2000, which is when I started watching football, 2000 on, I've just seen them time and time again. They should be losing this. They're losing. Somehow they pulled off the end. Dang it, they're dancing with the championship trophy again.
On your logo, just making it a whole scene. Yeah, don't get me started on Oklahoma. They're, the bane of my existence. But it is something, there's something true to that. They are one of the most luckiest teams I've ever seen in my entire life. But it also goes to great coaching, too. I mean, Bob Stoops is Bob Stoops, and
right.
Riley is Lincoln Riley. And, they've had their fair share of coaches that have turned out their great quarterbacks and great wide receivers, great offensive players. I'm not going to speak too much for their defense, but it's been the best defense in the Big 12 for the most part, outside of Texas.
Listen here, I'm just going to say this real quick about Lincoln Riley. Okay, until that man puts together a defense, he will never be a great coach to me.
Yeah.
He will always be a very good coach, but until he puts together a defense, not a great coach. But I mean, I think one of the topics we've been circling around here that we should just attack head on is the QB battle going into next year. We talked about, obviously, Quinn Ewers, one of the most highly touted prospects ever, recruits coming out of high school, comes early, comes to Ohio State, takes his bag, goes back to where everybody thought he was going to be originally in Texas. But Malik Murphy as well is no slouch. And, as an Ohio State fan, we all remember in Columbus the fabled story of Tate Martell. So, a cautionary tale to immensely talented guys coming in and assuming they have the job. What do you think is going to be important for Quinn to make sure that he secures that job and doesn't turn into like a Tate Martell to right now?
I think he's already secured it. He's making he's showing up for autographs side by side with Bijan and Xavier Worthy, are three studs in offense. You don't see Hudson Card showing up with these same guys. It's those three are in all the talks. They're in all the stories, papers, tweets. It's going to be him. Now, I think Malik would be a great backup. I don't know much about what Hudson Card's going to be. I don't know where they're going to put him, if he's going to be backup or fighting for backup with Malik, just doing garbage time, trading off with Malik. But I was very excited before Quinn, once Tom Herman lost Quinn Ewers, I was like, well, at least we got Malik. And then now that we got him back, it's like, okay, we have a good backup. Can get us out of some situations if we need him. I think it'll be Quinn, then Malik, then Hudson third. Just my take.
I mean, there's absolutely no reason why that offense should not be competing for the top offense in the nation with like your Ohio States, probably your USC's and your Alabama's. So, I mean, I think absolutely Quinn Ewers probably gets the job, but you know, having a guy like Malik Murphy, that's a pretty good quarterback room. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of like a new and upgraded 2.0 of Sam Ellinger and Shane Buechele when they were both there a couple years ago.
Yeah. I love Shane. Obviously, I loved Sam Ellinger better. But, yeah, I liked having Shane as a second option because there was a game, I think, against Baylor where Sam, he played like four snaps out injured. And I think Shane came in and still won the game. So it was nice to have that good experience quarterback play in the backup.
So let's talk about, I think, the worst kept secret in college football, which is that Texas boosters are among the most outspoken and my way or the highway style of booster clubs in the U.S. And in college football. So let's talk a little bit about kind of the new revamped approach they're taking in NIL with the O-lineman rumors, the Clark Field Collective. What's your take on that? Because I'm sure they're probably the ones that are advertising it. I'm sure a lot of other teams probably have it. They're just the only ones with the balls to like say, like, no, we're doing this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the exact same thing A&M is doing, except A&M is pretending that they're not doing it. But it's the exact same thing. It's let's funnel our money together and put it in a corporation that will also do this, yada, yada, yada. You'll also get this out of it. And it's all legal, all NIL approved as of now. So, yeah, I mean, the top schools are all doing it. Texas is very outspoken about it. I mean, if it makes them feel like they're a part of something instead of having drama with the coach, I'd rather it be this way. I don't want any off-season drama this year. I'm hoping we got like five more months of off-season. I'm like, no giant, huge, crazy Texas stories. That's all I want. No eyes of Texas being brought back up. I know there's an article going to come out. It'll be the exact same thing from the last 2 years. It's going to talk about the eyes of Texas. And no one's going to be talking about it except for this article. And then it's going to blow up on Twitter. And I'm going to have to read a bunch of mentions. It's so annoying.
Kyle, did you ever watch Friday Night Lights?
I saw the movie, not the TV show.
Okay, so to me, like, if you ever watch the TV show, and for the listeners out there who have, I just imagine, like, the Texas boosters to be just, like, a room full of Buddy Garrity's. Just, like, for those of you who don't know, Buddy Garrity's, like, he owns, like, the car dealership in the town for Friday Night Lights, and he is, like, the benefactor for the football team. And, you know, whatever he says goes. Like, he writes a check. Yeah. So I just imagine a bunch of Buddy Garrity's in the room. And it's just, to me, that image is just hilarious. So, but you know, they get stuff done, you know, I guess that's the silver lining.
We got some O-linemen for the first, this best O-lineman class we've ever got. So whatever it takes, I don't care. Get us some O-linemen so we don't lose our quarterback.
Pretty much. I mean, what's wrong with that at this point? You know, they already do it with facilities, you know, right. It's not like we don't flash off our facilities every time a kid shows up there. So
yeah,
why not give them a little bit of money if it's legal?
Right.
Play the part, you know, Texas is the program. That's what they're going to do. And that's, you know, that's how it should be if they want to win. You know, if it's legal, go on ahead and take all the legal routes. It may not be your most ethical route, but
yeah, what I'm at this point after I thought our down period would last a couple of years, handful of years, like it did between Vince and Colt, like, you know, 2 years, and then we're back in it. It's been 12 years.
Yeah.
I cannot take anymore. Get us back at the top. Do whatever. See,
and that was the funny part. Me and Mike had this discussion on the phone, and I had said something about Texas, and I was like, you know, they've been all right over the past few years. And then I look back and I'm like, you know, the record doesn't really display the,
no,
and it does, but it does, but it doesn't, but it does, because, you know, at the same time, it displays the record in of they weren't as good as you kind of imagined that they were, because you go into the beginning of the season, they're always ranked, you know, you got Texas Heat, the beginning, they're hot. Let's go. Texas is going to, you know, make it to the Big 12 championship this year. And they did at one point. But it kind of just goes to show there that at the same time it does, because, you know, you guys weren't awful. You weren't the worst team in the Big 12 every year, but,
it definitely is
subpar seasons for what you're used to.
We're, from 2000 to 2009, it was either first or second in the Big 12. Like, that's
Charlie Strong ended it. I mean, Mack Brown had a couple of bad years at the end, but
I think even in Mack's like last season, he almost won, like just somehow almost won it. I think if we would have beaten Baylor our last game of 2013, we would have somehow won the Big 12 randomly. So. And that was a crappy year for Mac. So, yeah, we are not used to what we've been doing. So we got to get out of it.
Somebody needs to go back. As much as I love Sam Ellinger, because he probably was. I don't have a good history with Texas QBs, because they've embarrassed Ohio State a couple of times. Like, Colt McCoy will forever be like a mortal enemy to me for what he did to us in the Fiesta Bowl
in 2009 or 8.
Yeah. So to me, like, I'm always, and probably you'd have to go way back to like Vince Young for like the last Texas quarterback that I just like absolutely loved. Ellinger.
That 2004, that 2005 game though in Columbus, that was
a phenomenal game.
That was a great game. See, that's the kind of game. That should be when two blue bloods go up again. That's what I want. I hate that it hasn't been like that. I mean,
hopefully it gets back to that. Yeah. Hopefully we're moving that way with, you know, USC coming back, Notre Dame, and then Texas hopefully turns the corner this year. I mean, maybe we start to get some familiarity at the top.
I was so happy for Michigan this year, because I couldn't care less about Michigan, but just knowing that they've been down so long and they came up and went to the playoff, I was like, okay, Nebraska, USC, and Texas are the three guys left that need to get back. And Michigan did it, so we can do it too. So it gave me hope.
Yeah, no, hopefully, you know, the next 5-6 years bring that back. But, I mean, I brought up Sam Ellinger because as much as I love the dude, somebody needed to go back, and especially in 2019 in that Sugar Bowl, somebody needed to slap him in the face and say, like, don't say that in the camera. Like, you're jinxing your entire program by saying we're back. Like, that was the moment to me that has just brought on the bad luck.
Yeah. So I don't know why he did it. I know Tom Herman was not happy he did it. No one knew he was going to say that, but when being in his shoes, like, so when Notre Dame came to Austin in 2015 and we won like in overtime or whatever, and the announcer was like, Texas is back. And then there was Texas is back jokes for 3 years. And I think he thought, because we won the Sugar Bowl, he was kind of like making fun of it, saying, well, now we're actually back because look what we won. I don't think he knew how bad the next few seasons would be after that.
The situation.
I don't think he was thinking about what it could mean for the future. I think he was kind of just saying, here's the response to 3 years of making fun of Texas for the guy who initially said it. But now that became the new guy that said it. So now it's,
Someone
has to win the championship, the national championship, and then they can say it. I'll let them say it all they want.
Yeah, you know, well, you know, we could be looking at Quinn Ewers in 1 or 2 years. We're back into the camera, and hopefully that's not a jinx of itself, man. I think we talked about some offensive changes and additions, I'd say. And there was also some like key additions kind of behind the scenes in the coaching staff, you know, bringing in the wide receivers coach, Brendan Marion. He had Jordan Addison, phenomenal player that was under him, Tashard Price in the running back room. And then also Gary Patterson coming in as a special assistant.
That's what I'm most excited for.
Defensive eval.
That was my biggest hail.
That's big.
Yeah.
That was a giant get. He could not have had a shittier season at TCU at a more opportune time for us, because any other TCU season, we couldn't have just got him like that. It was perfect. It was awesome.
Yeah. That's going to be a huge addition. I literally have in my notes possible. Could this be the guy that kind of brings back some of that energy to the sleeping beast of Texas.
I hope so.
It is one of those things. He's down the street. He's been in the Big 12. He's had his runs. He's well experienced. He's over experienced, really, to be just a
special. Right. Yeah. Agree.
You know, but it is one of those situations where he took the spot, and I'm excited to see what he does there, even though, you know, it's down the road, down the river. You know,
yeah,
it's still exciting because it's one of those situations where you don't get to see this happen often. He's a great coach. He's won a couple of massive. I think he's won a couple of Big 12 championships or one.
Yeah. I think he tied for Baylor for one. 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah. The year that they should have gone over Ohio State.
Hey, well, you know,
Mike
what?
Knows we, it. Mike knows it. We, he's not.
Listen, man. Listen, we ended that argument. We ended that argument because we went and won the thing, you know.
Right. So. But you didn't end it because TCU also could have gone and won it.
Well, that's just true. That's true. That's true.
I feel bad for them, but I don't care because I'm not a TCU fan. So
that's just fair.
Sucks though, because like they haven't won one since 38. They needed it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, you know,
Ohio State has plenty. Come on, Mike.
Well, yeah. You know, listen.
Stop being greedy over there.
You're a Texas fan. You understand, man. You know, we got.
I know.
They're not as loud and mighty as yours, but we got boosters over here in Columbus too that demand things. I don't know. I mean, I think Texas, you know, like you said, they brought in a bunch of really good guys, both transfer portal and recruiting class. The recruiting class, when's the last time Texas brought in the number one Big 12 class?
Probably 2018. Probably.
And I also saw 20 in-state commits. That's the highest since 16. That's impressive. Dang. Because that's been one of the big things that, you know, people have been complaining about. Because you got big guys coming out of Texas and going other places. And the thing that I really like, too, is doing some of this in-depth research on the recruiting class. They're getting help where they need it, right? You mentioned the trenches, the O-line, the D-line. Okay, 14 out of those 21 guys that are fours and five stars came from the trenches, and 12 of those guys are on defense. So that's really, really impressive. They're getting help where they need it.
We need it bad, yeah.
Yeah, they just need to – honestly, I think the biggest thing for them is, like, tackle. Like, they just need to learn how to tackle. Like, Texas has been leading the country in missed tackles.
It's been like unreal. That since Mack left. I don't know what happened.
It's unreal.
It's like someone greased everyone's arms, and we just fly off people. It's ridiculous. I'm like, guys. And then there was, like, a big, like, change. Like, oh, we're going to practice on – like, Travis was like, oh, we're going to practice on wrapping up. And yeah. for a game or two, it was better. But then –
Oh man, yeah, you know, they should take some of that. They should take some of that NIL money and just put it towards, hey, whoever wraps up the most tackles this weekend, right. $50.
Right.
$50 to your charity of choice.
Start doing like $50 a tackle, -100 if you miss a tackle.
Negative.
I bet they'll start tackling.
You're not getting lunch. You're not getting lunch this week after practice. You miss a tackle. But no, it was a really good class. Like Devin Campbell is going to be an absolute stud for you guys. Same with Kelvin Banks. I think those guys probably project to be first-year starters.
Yeah, I'll say those two guys at least should be fighting for starting spots because, A, we need them, and, B, they're the highest rated that we got. So I'm hoping that one or both could start.
Yeah, and you guys got some help on defense too. Ryan Watts from Ohio State, corner. I mean, that dude's a big frame, rangy guy. He's fast, great addition. He should be plug and play. We just love to keep our good secondary guys on the bench in Columbus. So you guys get to have a great player there. I think he's gonna be immediate impact.
Yeah.
I have a question for you because here in the next couple of years, Oklahoma's not gonna be, neither will you all.
Right.
What do you think of this change up for Texas and Oklahoma? And then obviously the remaining demolished Big 12, essentially what we knew 10, 15, 20 years ago is no longer even close to what we're seeing right now.
Yeah. I think weirdly enough, I think Texas will benefit more out of the move than Oklahoma. I mean, in football alone, I think we'll both be okay. You know, A&M came from like fifth place in the Big 12. First year, win 10 games or win what they won 11 games, 12 games, mm-hmm. beat Bama. Like, crappy Big 12 team comes in and whoops Bama. Like, I think we'll be fine. I hate the feeling everyone has around the SEC and that it's this big and mighty when, like, you know, Ohio State, Michigan.
The depth is not there. The depth is just not
all,
there.
It's all lies. And I think Texas and Oklahoma joining and doing okay the first few seasons, I think that will maybe make that go away. I don't know. I hate just the SEC is the best in the land kind of talk. Even though we're joining it, I don't want that to be a thing when we join. I hate
that. I think that's an important point that you make. In the sense that I really do think it'll help to convince a lot of Texas defensive guys to stay home. Because if you think about it, right, like if you're a big time recruit in Texas, I mean, it's no secret that the Big 12 up until probably very recently, it's been an offensively focused conference. When you look at the best teams out of there, it's usually offensive focus.
For sure.
So, you know, if you have a Big 12 team or an SEC team and you're a top defensive player, like you want to go to SEC because
you'll get drafted because everyone loves SEC teams. So
exactly.
If Texas is an SEC team, then they should gobble back up those recruits they've been losing the last 10 years.
Yeah. And that should help them a lot. So hopefully that elevates the defensive play. It also helps attract, you know, defensive coaches. So, I think they're in a better position to succeed.
Right.
I think right now, just given how Texas as a team has looked the past 2 years, they definitely have their work cut out for them, because I think if they were to step into the SEC with the defense they have right now, it would be troubling. But the benefit of the next couple of years is that they get to kind of experiment and figure out what works.
Right.
Where they make
plug and play with coordinators, with schemes, whatever they need to do to get ready to get there. So yeah, I agree. And just athletics department in general, I'm excited to play.
I was going to mention
the SEC because, like, baseball would be – I mean, Big 12 is really good at baseball, but SEC is really, really good at baseball. So it'll be nice to
get a Kentucky game, you know, basketball.
Well, yeah. That I like playing Big 12 basketball, but SEC I think will be nice because, I mean, we've been just – not football, because before you say it, we've been dominating the Big 12 and just all sports basically. I mean, I guess not softball either, but Texas has 199 Big 12 championships. Second place in the conference is Baylor with 87. It's not close. Hasn't been close for a long time. So I would like to do the exact same thing in the SEC and just take over in all the sports. It'll be nice.
Very quick side note from here.
Sure.
We don't talk baseball on this show, but I am an avid baseball fan. I just want to put it out there. Grown up, top five college baseball uni. Longhorns are in there. I mean, I just absolutely love their baseball unis. Had to throw it in there.
Nice. Respect but, it.
No, I mean, so we talked about, you know, the defense potentially making some positive progress. You know, I think if you look at the schedule next year, it's a doozy, 100%. I think there's potentially like six top 25 matchups. You're looking at like you got Bama, you got UTSA potentially.
Right. Right. So 10 years ago when we were like, UTSA, who freaking knew they have the best season in their career or their school history and win the conference? And
what do you expect?
They
had to play us that was everybody's beat up school in the Big 12. We scheduled them. We were like, hell yeah, let's put UTSA on there and blow them up by 80. I think we literally did blow them up by 60 or 70 points one time. So like, you know, how can they not get better after, you know, getting just demolished like that? But yeah, no, it's insane that they've made that crazy flip. It's just like,
Who would
want to schedule them at this point?
Yeah,
there's comedy in it, man.
The same thing happened last year when we were playing Louisiana Lafayette. I'm like, I know when they signed that contract 8-9 years ago, they were not thinking they would have like the number one returning. What's that called? The percent of players coming back.
Oh, like they had like the highest percentage of like returning players on the lineup.
They had the most returning players. They were ranked to begin the season. Like they haven't ranked preseason in 40 years or whatever. It's like, man, what's the chances?
Well, I mean, the silver lining here is a lot of these games are at home. Like you guys have 8 home games as opposed to 4 away games.
Right.
I don't know if you want to, I can't remember. I think the Alabama one's neutral, right? Or is that at Texas? That's home and home.
It's like Bama's like first real, like home and home with a non-Alabama, non-SEC team in a long time.
Okay, so I mean, realistically, like, let's do like a Coke Pepsi blind taste test here.
Coke wins. Coke wins.
Well, of course, Coke wins. Absolutely. But you know, let's take the Texas brand off of it. What are the realistic expectations you have looking at this schedule?
Okay, ULM, good. Bama, if they would have won the championship, I would feel a lot better. But now that Nick Saban's pissed, and they're gonna have a guy saying, "You know what? We're running it back this year. This is our year. Like we're gonna score 90 on everyone. Like I don't want to play Bama when they just lost the championship. So I'm it's not looking that good for Bama. I'm hoping that sarcasm.
Hey, but you have them at home, though. You get it at home.
That does help.
That's going to be a big-time game. And, I mean
– I'm going to try and go to that one, actually.
If Kyle Field had anything to say about it last year, I mean, show sure as hell kid Texas next year. I mean
– Yeah, so Bama, I'm not going to say it's a – I'm not even going to say it's a toss-up. I'm going to say it's – we'll probably lose. I'm hoping we make it respectable. I'm hoping it's, you know, one possession.
We got to hope for.
That's it. That's it.
Right, because
that's all that matters. Big 12 representation, equal representation. Please show up for us.
Right. Do not embarrass. Like when we went to South Bend in 2014, Notre Dame just whooped us. It was like, I think we scored like 6 points. It was just embarrassing. And I was like, man, come on, guys. So I don't want any like 50 to 10 scores. I want it to be like high 40s to low 40s. I would be okay with that. UTSA. I mean, we came prepared for Louisiana when they were a G5 team coming in ranked and stuff. So I think we'll be fine with them. Tech, I think we'll be fine. That's 3-1 right there. West Virginia is always kind of hard. I think they're the only team that we have a losing record to in the Big 12. So it would be nice to beat them to get that back. So I'll say a win for that. Oklahoma, they're going to suck next year. So win for there. Iowa State, we had some bad luck. So I'm going to say lose there. Oklahoma State, I don't know. They look pretty good last year.
Careful over there, Cowboy.
They look pretty good, so I'm going to say it's a toss-up. Kansas State, win. TCU, win. Kansas, it's at Kansas. I'm not looking forward to that one. I'll say win. Baylor, toss-up. So 8-9 definite wins. A loss probably to Bama. Other two, it could go either way.
That was reasonably the same thing that I said. I think I gave you one more.
I was going to say, he showed a lot of maturity there as a Texas fan. He gave us 8-9. We had 9-10 for him today. Yeah. We were giving him some positivity.
Yeah, I have been wrong so many years, time and time again. Like, I just got to just go with what I'm used to. So I just got to be reasonable. But again, even if we're on the low side, like I said, 8-9, that is – almost 100% better than last year. So, like I said, silver lining, we cannot get worse. We can't get better. So, this year will be better. It's a win.
Yeah, and I love the political answer, too, against Oklahoma State. I saw Dre was on the edge of his seat.
I was reading the rest of the schedule to just, you know, kind of catch a glimpse again, because I was looking at that Baylor closeout, and I was like, that's going to be a tough one.
Right.
I have no problems with it. I think I even said it was a toss-up. If not anything, I thought Texas was going to win because they picked up so many pieces through the portal this year.
Right. Gonna
be, Oklahoma State's lost enough pieces and a great coach on that defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be interesting for us to rebuild what we were.
I've never seen a team come like a yard away from winning. A conference championship. I could
You know, it's been so long, too. I haven't had that taste in my mouth since, like, 2011. It's been, like, 10 years. It's been ridiculous.
Was that the last time Oklahoma State's won it?
It was
2016
Yeah, I think it was 2011 or 2011. It could have been 2016. But if we did win it any time past 2011, it was a dumpster year. We would have won it by, some weird game being lost by another team and we barely squeak it out. Before this, we had the tournament. Now we don't have the tournament at all. So it's just, we're a championship game. Now we don't have.
Well, Wikipedia says you only have one Big 12. So I guess that has to be.
It's that 2011 season where they went to the, Justin Blackman, Brandon.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yep.
Yeah.
Monster. I did not like him.
2011. And then Oklahoma through 15 to 20 was just
ridiculous. It's ridiculous how many times they won. It's ridiculous. I can't stand it. And I always root. I want you to know this. I always root for Texas when they play Oklahoma. I mean,
well, honestly, I always root for you when you play Oklahoma. And we both hate Oklahoma.
My parents live out in Texas. Yeah, it's nice. I love Texas.
Honestly. Kumbaya.
Yeah. You know, he said it was like the Ohio State, Michigan State, Kumbaya. Yeah,
the bar, enemy, you know? Of my enemy, right, is my friend.
Right, yeah, right, like, exactly.
So easy to go up, down, up with a, you know, a friend of your enemy, or an enemy of your enemy, so.
Right, exactly. So I've been working for the last couple of weeks on this giant, so I have this giant data set. I'm into like data type stuff, especially for football. And I've been manually adding in the rankings of every game that's been played ever in college football. So I already had every game played in college football, but now I'm adding in if teams were ranked at the time. So then I'm going to, when all that's done, it'll be like a month or so down the road. But whenever all that's done, I'm going to look at which team has blown potential national championship seasons the most. So like what team has been like ranked number one and now the last game of the season, they lose it, or they were number two and they faced number one and lost, or they were like number two and faced number three. And if they would have won, they would have been one.
Before this playoff, that happened so much because it was only two teams.
I'm going to compile a list of which teams have thrown away the most national championships in their history. So I can't wait to see. I know Bama won't have that many because they usually win the ones where they have it at stake.
They didn't have a lot of national, you know, attention until Saban came, and then he just absolutely just rocketed their program. Yeah. I mean, that's going to go down as probably one of the greatest dynasties in sports. Them and the Patriots, right? I mean,
that they are the Patriots.
Unreal.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, unreal. I think in your opinion, we kind of talked about the Texas boosters, the level of expectation that is Texas football,
right,
and the brand. Given how Sark has started out his tenure and also how like Herman's kind of went, do you think if 2022 is like okay, not the best, but definitely under expectations, do you think he's gone? Do you think the seat warms up? What do you think happened? You think it warms up?
So people were saying, oh, he's going to be fired first year. I'm like, they will 0% chance. First year is a complete wash. It doesn't matter. Whatever he does, it's what he does because it's all new guys. He doesn't have any of his players. It's whatever. So that year's happened. It's now, okay, he's got a whole year with his same coaches, brought in a new coach for wide receivers, I think. So got his players recruited. Now start plugging and playing with his guys. No matter what he does this year, he's still safe. Third year is you have to improve or you're gone. So it's like this year he should improve. Whatever 2023, if he doesn't get more than he got in 2022, I think it will be hot. And then same thing in 2024. They could, if he's still struggling, then they're like, let's cut him because we're about to go into SEC. Let's get the most SEC experience coach that's available. I think that's what will happen. But
that sounds about right. That's what I figure.
So he basically has until we play in the SEC to win something. That's on him. He has three more seasons, I think.
Okay, so let's finish off Kyle here with some bold takes. Let's go three-headed monster on offense. So I'm just gonna rapid fire him here, and the key for this is I want your take on where you think by the time they leave, they will rank in Texas history at their position. So Quinn Ewers, Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy, where do you think they will end up among the Texas greats?
Okay.
If at all.
Right. I think the person who has, out of those three, the person who has the most likely chance to be at the top when they leave. Stat wise, I think Xavier Worthy, mostly because he broke most. I mean, every freshman record there was at Texas, he broke it last year. He's only going to get better. I think he has a good chance of getting the record. Seconds Quinn, but he'd have to stay 4 years. I don't think he'll stay 4 years. So that's why I'm saying he has less likely a chance to be at the top, because, you know, Sam Ehlinger, he was there 4 years. He got like a game away from passing Colt McCoy in like yardage and touchdowns. So, and those were all just regular seasons, nothing special. So if Quinn played 4 years, he would definitely 100% have the record, but he won't. So I think Xavier will. And Bijan, I think he lost too much his first year with Herman. There were games where he got the ball like five times. His first year, like stat wise,
what a waste of time.
It's not gonna get him into the top spot. But he would have to get like, I'll calculate later, but I'm gonna guess like 1,500 yard seasons this year, next year to have a chance. It's rough on him, and he's a junior now. So, and again, I don't think he'll stay more than 2 years more. So Xavier's the best shot, the best shot out of those three.
Quick question. Last question for you.
Sure.
Favorite name on this Texas roster,
favorite name, like favorite player or favorite name? Cause I like their name.
Cause you just like their name.
Oh,
we like to rock with cool names here on Slightly Offside. Oh. We love cool names.
I think Xavier, just because he had like, when I went to the Texas game against Rice this year, they started playing DMX, X Gonna Give It To You, when he scored a touchdown.
Ooh,
and I was like, that's cold. Crazy. I like that. And so like, he goes by X, Zay. He goes by all sorts of names. I think he's got a cool name.
The last name's cool too. Worthy.
Yeah.
I was going to say Marvin Overshown.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I like Overshown for some, as a linebacker too, you know, Overshown. Like it's perfect for him. Like, you know, it fits the character. Yeah. They got a lot of good names on Texas, on that roster.
Yep.
Yeah, I think to the Ewers point too, kind of similar to like Fields and at Ohio State and also Burrow at LSU, right? I think he has the potential, kind of like you're saying, he's not going to be there for 4 years, but if he does stay long enough to build and play really well in some big games, to build kind of a allure around him, he could still be like considered, if someone was to ask you like, hey, who do you think is like top, you know, Texas quarterback to ever be on the field? It's probably 5 years from now, I'd probably say Vince Young and Quinn Ewers. Cause a lot of people on Columbus are like, Justin Fields is the best quarterback Ohio State's ever seen. And I guarantee you go around LSU, people say QB, and like, I think people struggle to think of anybody other than Burrow right now.
Right. Who has LSU had at quarterback?
The face of the city. I feel like New Orleans should just put like a big welcome board with like Joe Scheisty on it with the new grill. And it's just like, welcome to Burrow land. Cause that's basically how they are down there.
Him coming out, and I guess I think it was the Bama game, and that camera shot following him out of the tunnel with Burrow spelled like with the Creole, the Cajun, whatever. That was one of the tightest things I've ever seen.
It was so
cool. I was like, damn, I like this guy.
Listen, Kyle, we really appreciated having you on. You know, Texas obviously is a team that Dre and I know quite a bit about, but getting able to dig into the kind of the engine of the team and looking forward to the future for them is really exciting. And getting expert opinions from somebody like yourself about the Longhorns is kind of what makes these episodes great. And so we really appreciate having you on, taking the time out of week night to join us. If you would like to learn more about Texas football, or honestly, just a great resource for college football in general, I follow him. You should too. Kyle, I think it's just first name, last name, right, on Twitter?
Right. Umlang. Can't miss
Kyle it. Umlang. Last name is spelled Umlang. Definitely worth the follow. And Kyle, if there's anything you want to wrap up by saying, go ahead.
I'm going to plug my new thing I'm working on. So it's Winzipedia, but you can adjust the time frame. So if you want Ohio State versus Michigan from 2000 to present, you can sort it by the date, and you can look at, because you know how they always throw that, well, history wise we have more wins, but you can compare accolades of any two schools, yeah, like Wikipedia, but you can make any time frame you want. You could just do the 80s if you want. You can do anything you want. So I'm working on, I put it out last year, but I'm working on updating it and having more stuff added, like who has the most wins against ranked opponents, or just other stuff. So I'll be putting that out in the next couple months. So be looking for that. It's good off-season fuel for teams.
That sounds like a really, really cool platform, something that has a lot of use for, you know, rivalry arguments and just stat finding and checking. So right, definitely a really cool thing. Make sure you guys check that out. Kyle, when that's up, let us know. We'll help you promote it. And we're really excited about that. And like I said, thank you so much. We will catch you guys next week. Thanks again, Kyle. And
thanks for having me, guys.
From Slightly Offsides.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.